Well, now this morning we come to the prophet's undaunted faith. But before we proceed to look at that, we're going to use the board for a little while and talk about faith, the doctrine of faith in brief. We're not going to understand anything at all about Elijah had faith to take God at his word, and we might put that one up, and that's the first one on the next set of overhead.
Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen."
Well, I think Elijah might have been hoping for a good meal when he got to the widow of Zarephath. But what is the importance of the doctrine of faith? I'm only going to touch briefly on the doctrine of faith, but I must touch on it for you to have some understanding of what's happening in point 2 in your notes. Now, Hebrews 11:6 reads this way, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." That's a great chapter. One of the great truths about faith in the doctrine of faith is faith is the one requirement for receiving God's grace and favor. Our Lord, when he was here on earth, recognized faith above all other virtues. For example, and we've talked about her in brief, the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15:21-28, she sought the Lord diligently. Remember I told you how the tribe of Asher failed to conquer that land and how she came to the Lord and she thought that she was right in the ways that she approached him. And she sought the Lord diligently, but she wasn't rewarded for her diligent way in which she approached the Lord. She was rewarded for her faith. Well, there are other passages of Scripture that you can write down that will help you. I won't explain them all to you. Matthew 8:10-13 as well. Mark 10:46-52. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, faith is the foundation upon which the seven other graces of our spiritual temple are laid. Turn quickly in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." There are the virtues on which our spiritual temple is built. In 2 Peter 1:8, there's a very interesting phrase. Just look at it whilst you're there. "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9, "But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." It's blunder in the Greek. Our hope for the future and our present love for Christ, who holds the future, is based on our faith in him. Therefore, to fear, because of circumstances around us, is to doubt the very nature of Jesus Christ and his power to do the thing about which we doubt. And that's why we need to understand the doctrine of grace before we really understand Elijah. And there are three elements of faith which need our attention, especially when faith is used in a general way. Perhaps we could ask the question, what relation does a knowledge of the Word of God have to faith? Well, I'll give you some verses that you can look at. I'm sure you'll know them if you know your Bible well. And I'm going to encourage you to memorize the Word of God. You don't know how much longer we've got the freedom to preach the Word of God like we're doing here this morning. We might have to have the Word of God written in our hearts. Romans 10:17 and Romans 10:14, Titus 1:2. You see, when we accept the claims of the Word of God as true, we're accepting knowledge, and the knowledge is essential. But when we refuse what we know will meet our needs, it forever will be beyond us. It'll be out of our reach, always. Now, when we come to look at faith in particular, that is, we bring it from the general scene down to the particular scene, we see that faith is used in connection with the name of God. There can be no dealings with the invisible God without an absolute faith in his existence. Hebrews 6:11-6 and Mark 11:24. Faith believes all that God says is absolutely true, even though present circumstances seem to be against its fulfillment. Now remember that in light of Elijah. Now when faith is used with the person and work of Christ, it claims that he is God. John 9:35-38 and John 10:30. Now in regard to our Lord's work in saving the lost, I want you to look at Matthew 20:28, Luke 24:27-44, and Matthew 26:26-28. Now, I want to teach you a key this morning that may unlock the door for you. And that is, you must surrender to Jesus Christ as a living person. Because faith in a doctrine leads to faith in a person who gives life to the doctrine or to the teaching. I want you to think of the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus went to the home of Bethany. You've read it so many times that you can almost quote it. But did you know that Martha was led to substitute faith in the doctrine of a resurrection for faith in the person of Christ, who by his own resurrection would give life and force to the doctrine of a resurrection? You know how busy Martha was. But remember what she said to Jesus when he arrived. And Jesus gave her the assurance that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. And she said, oh yes, on the last day I know there's going to be a resurrection. Let me put it to you the way that I see it again. Martha was led to substitute faith in the doctrine of a resurrection for faith in the person of Christ, who by his own resurrection would give life and force to the doctrine of a resurrection. There are many parallels, of course. But I cease and refrain from giving too many illustrations because too many people take it the wrong way. When we don't understand the Word of God and when we don't have doctrine in our soul, we don't understand what the Bible teaches. There are many parallels. I can think of one outstanding parallel with a politician here in Queensland. But then when we look again at the doctrine of faith, I see that faith is used in connection with prayer. Let us turn now to 1 John chapter 5. Remember, we've done all of these studies, or at least I did them from up here. I don't know how you cope down there, but I remember doing them. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, that rules out the cliche that is so often used, if it be thy will. Oh, that's a terrible cliche. Listen to what the Word of God says again. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, how are you going to know the will of God? You're not going to know the will of God unless you know the Word of God. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Or let's turn to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is what we read. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Isn't that a lovely phrase, without finding fault? But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Faith, the doctrine of faith, is very much akin to our prayer life. Then it's also connected with the promises of God. But we'll just give you a few. Titus 1:2, Hebrews 11:1, and 11:11. And 11:35. Now, I want to come to the whole crux of the doctrine of faith, basically, for you now, because it's all to do with this widow and with Elijah. And many people ask the question, what relation does faith have to do with works? It's very clear in the theology of the Bible that there is no merit in faith alone. Faith does not save you. When I was on the road as an evangelist, I spent most of my time correcting error. It is by grace, through faith, that you are saved. And that word through is an operational word. Those of you who are grammarians, you know your grammar, you will know that that is an operational word. So by grace, through faith, we are saved. Now, some people say it does not make any difference what you believe so long as you are sincere. Well, there's a lot of sincere people, but they're sincerely wrong. You see, the worshippers of Baal were sincere in their faith, but their gods of wood and stone, which they made with their own hands, could not answer them in power as did the God of Elijah on Mount Carmel. That's going to be interesting when we come to that. The key to understand this is simply this. Paul does not contradict James concerning the matter of faith and works in James 2, verses 14 through 26, and Romans 4, 1 through 12. What you need to understand is that Paul is looking at the matter from God's viewpoint and says we are made righteous in the sight of God without any works at all on our part, and that's biblically correct. He says it's solely on the merits of Christ and his finished work on the cross. James, on the other hand, considers the matter from man's viewpoint. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's in James chapter 2, and let's get over to it. It's over in verse 24. What James does here, he unlocks a key to understanding, and he does it by the method of what I like to call contrast. Some call it comparison, some call it paralleling, doesn't matter what you call it. And will you notice who he's comparing? And there's a very good reason why he's comparing Abraham and Rahab. And what does he go on to say to them? You see, verse 22, you see that his faith, this is referring back to Abraham, and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Now, in the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, or they love to put that little word in there, but she's in the kingdom of God. Well, I stopped the other day to do some research in another direction. I came to this conclusion that there'll be more prostitutes, more alcoholics, and more criminals and more bums that have been redeemed in heaven than rich people. And I went back and had a look at what our Lord had to say about the difficulties of a rich person getting into heaven. And it says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Let me tell you, so that I can correct this heresy before it kills you, you were not justified by your faith. It is God's grace that has justified you. I'll let you ponder that for the week. We are justified in the sight of God by faith in the finished work of Christ. That's where grace comes into it. And we are justified in the sight of men by demonstrating that faith through God's works, which should be the natural product of such faith. In other words, Operation Faith is seen in you and me. Because if people do not see Christ in us, how will they ever know him? As I taught you last Sunday night, there are too many Christians who know Christ as a name and not as a person. You see, men can only see that which is on the outside. It's the Lord who sees the heart, but men can only see what is on the outside. Faith, of course, is the combined work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father gives faith, Romans 12:3, Philippians 1:29, 1 Corinthians 12, the whole chapter. God the Father gives faith. God the Son perfects faith, Hebrews 12:2, Matthew 14:30, 31, and Luke 17:5. God the Father gives faith. God the Son perfects faith. Now, something that we need to learn, which is all screwed up in today's Christian circles, God the Holy Spirit administers faith. Write that down in your notes. God the Holy Spirit administers faith. The references are Galatians 5:22, 1 Corinthians 12:9. God the Holy Spirit administers faith. So faith, then, is the gift of God which comes from God the Father. It is maintained and nourished by God the Son and administered by God the Holy Spirit. Now, what are some of the results of faith? Well, naturally, you're saved through faith, by grace, not faith. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, Romans 1, 17, Romans 5, 1, Galatians 3, 26, Acts 26, verse 18, 1 Peter 1, 5. Faith also gives rest, peace, assurance, and joy. And all of those ingredients you will find in Elijah. You know, when the Lord told him to leave the brook Cherith and to go to the widow of Zarephath, Elijah has faith in God. He understood the doctrine of faith. He understood all of these things that we're sharing this morning. He knew that the faith he had within him gave him rest, gave him peace, gave him assurance, and gave him joy. Now, here's some of the references that you can look at. Isaiah 26, verse 3, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, my favorite phrase, when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4 and 6, John 14, 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 8. The other thing connected with the doctrine of faith is just basically this, that there is no limit to what can be done by faith. Hebrews 11, 32 and 34, out of the faith chapter, Matthew 21, 21, and John 14, 12. Now, let's put it all together for you. Sum it up the way God sums it up in the Bible. And this is the procedure. Fact, faith, feeling. Now, of course, Satan would reverse that procedure, and he has reversed it in a lot of churches. He's reversed it in the modern charismatic movement. And when he reverses it, he puts feeling before faith and thus confuses the child of God. Let's remember God's order. Now, fact always leads. I remember the night I got saved in the Billy Graham Crusade in Sydney, 1959, when the young man opened the Bible. I said, "Son, I can't read." And he looked at me, and he said, "You can't read." I said, "I can't read, and I can't write. I can just barely write my name. I got so many BDs that I'm sick and tired of thinking about them. If you're wondering what a BD is, I've bit the dust many times." Faith always leads. That's a basic rudiment. Do you know what a rudiment is? Some of you that know music know what the word means. I know what it means from speech therapy and teaching voice production. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Faith leads.